Blog Talk Radio.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus.
International Institution. I am Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, your official instructor for this program, and I want you to know today that you are welcome to meet us any day that we are having classes here at the location of 1401 Grandthal Street in the Center for the Prevention of Health and Disparities on the campus of Edwards Waters College. We want you to know that this class is a class of mission and evangelism. We're here to teach and instruct how to win souls for the kingdom of God, how to be about God's business. So at the beginning of this session, at the beginning of the class, we have been talking about so many things, and I believe that there have been many precious jewels and pearls that you were able to be able to grasp and to take part of it and to hold dearly unto your heart. Those that have a purpose, those that know their purpose, those that know what God has called and instructed them to do, we must do it in excellence, in the spirit of excellency. And we must be able to reach out that souls will be won and lives will be changed for the purpose of making others fishers of men and ambassadors for him. And we must conquer the unconquerable. And the only way we can do that is through God's word. God has given all of us an assignment to be able to reach the lost. And we can reach the lost at any cost. Only thing that we have to do is just to believe, just to put ourselves in the place where Jesus was, and we can do those things because the word of God say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. So what we're going to be talking about today is a continuation on how to lead into your testimony. We have talked about and leading to a testimony. This is we talk about this because of the fact that we want to be able to let people know where we came from, what things that was in our lives, some things that make the difference, some things that we have gone through in life that turn us around, those things that made us strong. So some of the things that we talked about was a worry and anxiety, and we already know that worry and anxiety is something that the world, that a multitude of people, they are experiencing this day and this time. So therefore, instead of having worry and anxiety, we want to give them peace, only the peace of God that surpasses our understanding. And that's what they need to be able to share, and that's what they need to be able to have, is the peace of God. Everybody wants some peace. Everybody don't want to struggle in their life. Everybody want to be able to have a day where their mind and their soul and their spirit can be at ease, and they don't have to go through some of the struggles of life. I know that there are people that are going through struggles. I believe that there are people that have these inner struggles on the inside. So that's the reason why we were able to touch on some of those things in our previous studies and to talk to you about some of those things. Yes, we were able to go through guilt and anger and emptiness. We talked about grief and stress. We talked about burnout and low self-esteem. We talked about disappointment. So today we're going to begin our study with insecurity. But before we begin with insecurity, we want to again to welcome our students, those that are online, and those in the classroom to this program, to Jehovah Jireh International Institution. And at this time, we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. As you let God touch your heart, as you let God make the difference in your life, our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, We magnify your name. We thank you, dear God, for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And, God, that word have we hid in our heart that we will not sin against thee. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for the Jehovah Jireh program. Thank you, Father, for every student that are participating. Thank you, Father, for those that are listening online. And thank God for those, Father God, that are listening, going back in and listening to this broadcast. And we just give you praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. At this time, we want to talk about insecurity. Have you ever been insecure? Have you ever been where in a state of not being trustworthy or not where someone not trusting you? Have you ever been where in that you felt that the person is not really taking care of you, don't care what's going on, or you may be left alone? And so many things go in your mind. And all of us at some point of our life, I don't know what your story may have been and what made you insecure, but yet I want you to know today that we have a message and we have something that we'll be able to tell those that we witness to how God, trusting God, can make the difference in their lives. When we are insecure, it will cause us to not to trust people and to not to know the fullness of God and not to know the love of God. And that's what we want to be able to do, is to know the love of God and to have confidence in him, to know that he will never leave us and know that he will never forsake us. So today we want to be able to talk about insecurity just for a little bit, because that insecurity will bring confidence and it will give us a sense of security. Everybody needs to have confidence. And I can tell you today that we need confidence in the Almighty God. We need the confidence, but God says that he will never leave us, and he said that he will never forsake us. So therefore, we need God to dwell in us. We need God to make the difference in our life. So we need God to make the difference in our life. So because we want God to make the difference in our life, God to walk in us and to talk in us and to use us for his glory and for his honor. And we just want you to know on today, all our classes, all the classes that we're going to be teaching, we want you to know that God is in control. So God is in control. God said, you know what he said? He said that he'll never leave us, and he said that he will never forsake us. So we have to have that confidence in him. We have to build up that sense of security that's in him. So the next one we want to talk about is regret. Now, I know that many of us have gone through regret in our life. Well, we regret that we made wrong decisions. The decisions that we may have made in our life, all of us have gone through regrets. Things that we wish we didn't do, didn't say, places that we found ourselves that we wish that we did not go, or things that we wished, opportunities in our life that we wish we have taken the opportunity to do some things, and that leave us with regret. But I want you to know, class, that God is a God of a second chance. He will give us a second chance in life. As always, as many times I've said that, you know, it's not over until God says it's over. Sometimes the enemy wants to make you count down, make you feel that you have missed it, make you feel that you're not going to make it, and to make you feel that what you've the pl- plans and the things that you have done in life, it was not going to be obtainable, something that you passed by, and that's the end of it, but that is not true. And that can be part of our testimony to let others know that they do not have to have regrets as if it's not going to happen again, and God is going to forget about them, and they will no longer have the opportunity to do the things that they did before. So can you not agree with me that God is a God of a second chance? Evangelist William, would you like to comment on, we're talking about regrets in life.
One of the things that you brought out is when you talk about insecurity, a whole lot of times because we are insecure, it will cause us to do things that we regret. A lot of times if we don't feel secure in whatever situation we're in, since we're talking about going forth and witnessing and spreading the gospel, and since we're talking about doing the will of God, and when we know that we are children of God, when we know that we're children of God, it causes us to feel secure. But because a lot of times we are not sure of where we stand in the Lord, then it will cause us to take actions and to do things that we might not be fully secure in. As a matter of fact, sometimes if we go out and we are on the mission field and we are spreading the gospel, and if we happen to approach somebody that does not want to hear what we have to say, then we can easily fall into an insecure state, regretting that we even stopped to minister a witness to that person. So it is important that we feel secure in what we're doing. And it's important that we don't get caught up in insecurities, that we won't get caught up in regret.
All right, that's very good, and that's well said, because a lot of people, they walk around day by day, and they certainly are filled with regret, they're filled with insecurity,
yes.
And it's because of, the Bible says that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but the word says he came that we could have life, we could have it more abundantly,
yes.
And we want to get the truth to those that do not know truth. We want to get the truth to those that do not have confidence in the word. Why? Because of the fact they don't know the word. Because of the fact that they have not allowed Christ to come in their life. Sometimes because of the fact somebody hasn't taken the time to let them know that they don't have to walk in insecurity or fear. Now, we have to be honest with ourselves that all of us have gone through these stages of life. All of us have been in fear and regret. All of us have had time in our life for one reason or another that these things that came up upon us. You know what? It is so good that we can talk about this so that others will know that, hey, don't let life pass you by because of something that you did not do or because of something that happened in your life and you regretted it, or somebody caused you regret, somebody caused you or you caused your own self to do certain things, but it's not a done deal. All you need to do is to trust in God. And these are the things that come about when a person were to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. We're telling you about these things today because we've been through the same thing that we are telling you today. We didn't all go through things without experiencing some anxiety and some regrets and some insecurity, some stress and some low self-esteem, all of these things that we have been through. Yes, we've been through the grief period. Yes, we've been through emptiness. We know what that is all about. Yes, we do know what anger is about. Yes, we have been through, all of us have gone through worry. So therefore, we want to be able to take this when we are witnessing to people as your testimony and let them know that, hey, I wasn't always all right. I didn't always have everything together. And I think that's very important as being a witness for the kingdom. I believe it's very important to let people know that, hey, I've been through some trials. I've been through some tribulations in my life. I didn't always make the right decision. And sometimes, yet, I have to go back and redo some things in my life even now. But I thank God because I have God in my life to help me, to lead me, to guide me, to direct me, to show me what I'm supposed to do and how to do it. And all I need to do is to trust in God. And the same God that I'm trusting in, the same God that will bring you out with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. So the next point we want to talk about the next one we want to talk about, which is a part of having to lead someone in our testimony, things that we can talk about, and that is fear. Now, I can ask you tonight how many people have had fear in their lives. There are so many types of fear, things that happen to us in our lives, things that cause us to want to sometimes to just go behind a door and shut the door, some things that we fear because of tragedy, some things we fear because of things that arose up in our life, and sometimes we fear because of the circumstances of each day, but yet, because of Christ, yes, we did go through all of those things. Yes, there were still fear in our life. There was fear because sometimes you, say for instance, there were times when you couldn't pay your bills. You may have been at a time where there may be somebody knocking at your door, and you did not have the money in order to pay that person for the amount that they wanted, and you may have been behind in your bill. You had a fear of opening that door because you thought if they open that door, then they're going to come and they're going to take your furniture, they're going to take that refrigerator or that stove or whatever it was because of the fact that, even that automobile, that's something that you fear. You fear because while you're sleeping at night, that they were going to come and they were going to take that automobile out of your yard, and then you didn't have you wouldn't have any transportation to be able to go to work, either to find a job. So therefore, we all been through fear. Yes, we all know what fear is. Yes, we all know that even there have been people in our lives that made us fear, the way that they treated us, the way that they talked to us, the way that they threatened us, the way that they tried to cause us in order to not to be at ease and be at peace with ourselves. So therefore, we have to know that the God that we serve is a God of peace, a God of integrity, a God that. So therefore, we realize that we don't have to fear. We realize that we don't have to walk in fear, and that we can do what needs to be done, because the Word of God said that I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens us. I believe that somebody is taking a hold on this today. I believe somebody can understand what we're saying today in this class, that when we talk about fear and when we talk about doubt and we talk about unbelief. I believe that somebody could understand the struggles and the pain and the adversary and the things that we have gone through. I believe that they can understand that because of the fact that they have gone through this in life. So we don't have to continually in the things that we have gone through in life. All we need to do is to have faith to in God to face our fears. All we have to do is know what the Word of God says, and we don't have to struggle. We don't have to keep going through the same old, because, you know, God will make a way for us, and he will open the windows of heaven, and he will pour us out blessing that there be not room enough to receive. Our God will rebuke the devourer for our sake if we can just trust him. And the next one we want to talk about is lonelessness. There are many people that are walking to and fro, and they are experiencing loneliness. We see people on the streets. We see them sitting on the sidewalk. We see them sitting on the bench. We may even pass by them. And most of the time, these people are people that are lonely. Nobody really are taking any interest in them. Sometimes they don't care about them. They don't care to ask them what their name. They don't care to ask them, can I help you? They don't care to ask you, are you all right? They don't care to ask you, are you hungry? Or whatever. They're not concerned about your soul. So here we find that today that we need to assure them that they don't have to go through some things and struggles that they have gone through. And even as I'm speaking, I began to think about this lady. Her name was Lynette Forme. And this woman, she was, if you remember and read a long time ago, and it was about our former president, President Gerald Ford. Incident took place in Sacramento. And this was about the Manson girl who attempted to assassinate the president of the United States of America, Gerald Ford, in Sacramento. And it was said that this lady, she was sitting on the curb in Venice, California, and Charles Manson had approached her instead. Somebody else, like that's like someone that is a soul winner, or somebody that cares for your soul, and that's what we want to get over to you today. It wasn't a born again believer, it wasn't a spirit, a Christian that approached her, but Charles Manson. Charles Manson was the one that approaches this young woman, and because she was so needy, and because she wanted somebody to feel something for her, and because she wanted somebody to care for her, what she did is she allowed herself to follow Manson. And it was told in her own words that she, and you want to know why she would follow this man. Why would she even follow Charles Manson? And her reply was that even a beaten dog will follow anyone who loves it. Now, that's a message for us today to let us know where people are and how they think and how they're downloading and how desperate they are and how they want people just to care about them. And she didn't really have to do what she did. But because her mind, her mentality was in the wrong place because of the fact that she wanted somebody to care about her and to love and to pay some attention to her, she allowed Charles Manson to become part of her life. And when they tried to assassinate the president of the United States, which was Gerald Ford at that time, she did it because She wanted attention. She did it because of the fact she needed somebody to feel that they loved it, her. So let's kind of keep those things, not just kind of, but let's keep these things in our heart and our mind when we're talking about loneliness. A person that are not saved and you're giving your testimony, no, you weren't the one that was out there with Charles Manson. That's not your story. That's her story. But there's a story inside of you. There's a story that you can tell them. I mean, a true story, something that really happened on the inside of you. You can give them that assurance that he will always be with you. And don't just say he will be always with you. Let them know that Jesus Christ, and then you can tell them who Jesus Christ is. You may be surprised, the people that don't know who Christ is. And I know in a day and a time you would think that they do, but for instance, I heard this person say that they're, and these other unchurched generation, and I don't know, and apparently she could have been one of those people as well of the unchurched generation that was out there. And yes, some people are really, when I say out there, they are out there. And so this woman came into the wrong person, but yet when I was thinking about the kids and young people that don't know the Word of God, they don't know the Bible, they don't know the books of the Bible. I know someone had called a book out, turn the book of John, the book of John, and the person, they didn't even know what they was talking about. They thought it was somebody's name. So that just let us know how much that we can do, how much we can care about people, and how much we can be more concerned about people in this life. That's all they want. Just like Charles Manson, he took interest in this girl for the wrong reason. We ought to take interest in people for the right reason. We need them to, we need people to embrace people, to let them know that we love them, and most of all, yes, to let them know that God loved them.
Dr. McCoy, that's a perfect example of loneliness, and since we are talking about insecurities, it actually boils down to the fact that if a person has regrets or they're insecure, if they have fear, or if they are lonely, and I'm going to bring it in to the people of God. If we get caught up with the wrong spirit, especially the spirit of fear, we are insecure, or we are lonely, it actually provokes you to make wrong choices. And when we make wrong choices, the consequences are devastating. So we have to remember that we are children of the King. We're people of God. We are children of the High Priest. We're royalty, you know. And even if we don't get caught up in insecurity, a lot of times as we go forth on the mission field, we run into people that possess all these things, people that are caught up in situations because of insecurity, because of regrets, because of fear, and because of loneliness. And I find that there is a widespread of loneliness amongst the people of God. So once we deal with the fact that, as we first started talking about being overcomers, when we first started out, we talked about overcoming these things, overcoming our fears and overcoming situations that we get caught up in, overcoming the fears and soul winning is what we started out talking about. So when we talk about insecurity, it does include regret and fear and loneliness.
Amen.
Amen.
And yes, all of these things can cause one to feel like nobody cares, and to not to be able to go forth and to be able to excel and to be able to look to Jesus Christ, who is your Lord and Savior if you don't actually allow people, because I think you made a point, too, that there are people in the body of Christ that are lonely, and I agree with you because there are people that are sitting up in our sanctuaries and our church and the buildings and whatnot, and yet they are clapping their hands, and yet they are stomping their feet, and yes, they are raising their hand, and even they just looking around, and I believe that that part of it, that we, as being believers, that we can also reach these people on the inside of the body of Christ and let them know that, that hey, you know, I know that you love God, and I know that you want to please God, and I know that that you're not here just to be here. You may not tell them that, but you just know that within your heart, and that you can be kind, you can begin to talk to people. You know, you can go to the same type of church, and you don't take time to talk to people. There are people that come into the congregation, and they can sit on the same row, but yet you don't even take, sometimes we don't take the time to introduce ourselves. We don't take the time to let them know that that this is a loving church and that I'm a loving person and that I love you and whatever I can do for you, not just doing this service, but if you if there's some need that you have, you know, I would like to help. The church would like to help and to make it our business in order to make sure that these people that are coming in to the churches, that they feel that freedom, they feel that love, and they feel that compassion from the people that say that they are saved, and not to just throw people off. And maybe you have people, I'm going to say this, that come into your sanctuary. They may not be dressed in a three-piece suit. They may not have the apparel on that you may think they ought to have on. But you have to make sure that you care and that you embrace these people and that you talk to them like they're people, and you don't have to put them on the back seat. You ought to bring them up to the forefront so that they can be able to feel that they are loved. Sometimes it takes a lot of people to come to church sometimes because somebody already told them how people are going to treat them, and the devil already told them how the people going to receive them or don't want to receive them. So this is all in equipping you in order to be more effective to the kingdom of God. And see, in order to do this, you're going to have to know, in order to give a testimony, sometimes you have to go through certain things and you have to experience certain things in your life. And that's why we'll be able tonight to talk about these areas in a testimony, because of the fact many things that we have gone through ourselves, and we have to make it effective and make it real for that other person that are going through things in their life. Now, let's talk about self-centeredness. We have to know that, too, we have to have that all of us, in some kind of respect, we have been self-centered. We have experienced that because even with kids and children, you may have been the only child, and mother may have brought you certain things, and those were your things, and those were things that you played with, and those things that you didn't want to give up. And then when other kids came around, then you were self-centered because those were yours. Both your mother and your father bought those things. You, and then you grow up, and you had the same attitude that you had when you was a child. And it grows up in the same way, wherein that you're not giving. You want to be the center of attention, and you want to be the person that's in control. So we have to look at this tonight as self-centeredness, and we have to replace that with love for other people. And we just can't really tell people that we love them. That's what we should do. But we have to show the love. Yeah. It's time for us to show the love of God, not to just tell somebody, because you can tell somebody that I love you in 1 minute, and the next 5 minutes you are showing them something altogether different. And that's why That's why we can use it. And if by chance this happened to us in our lives, we're going to be able to share it with somebody. You know what? I remember when I was so self-centered, when I just thought about myself.
Yes.
It was me, myself, and I.
Yes.
I remember that time. But you know what? By knowing Christ, by Christ coming to my life,
yes,
by God making a change in my life, then I'm not self-centered anymore. I have a great love for the people of God,
yes,
because God showed me how to love. You know what? When I read the word of God in John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." When I read that, I seen that Christ wasn't selfish, that God gave his life even when I was a sinner, even when I did things that wasn't right, when my life didn't line up with the word of God. Yet God, he loved me, and he loved me in spite of all the things that I did. So therefore, I want you to know that you can have the love of God as well, and that you don't have to be self-centered, because this is my life, and I can tell you for sure that Christ delivered me, and even as God delivered me, he will deliver you. And as I said before, that's a story in all of us.
Yes.
That's a story in all of us that we can tell somebody, because we know how we were. We know how the attitudes that we had. We knew how we talked to people. We knew how we even thought that we were better than other people. You know how we thought that other people weren't even worthy to speak to you, or worthy to talk to you, or worthy to sit on the same road, or worthy to sit with you in lunch, because of whatever that story may have been.
Yes.
You know, these are things that I want to bring out of the Holy Spirit, give us to bring these things out, because of the fact they did happen in our life. And sometimes we won't like to talk about things in the past, because we want everything to seem like, hey, I've been this way all my life. But people don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that you've been this all the way your life, or even think that you've been, because that way, they'll think that if you've been that way all your life, then I'm doomed. How can I get to heaven? You know, how can I make a change in my life? Somebody needs to show them that there is a change, and the change came in me.
Yeah.
You know, the changes came in me, the things that I did, that I don't have to do it anymore. I don't have to walk that same walk. I don't have to talk that same talk. And no, I am not was not perfect. I'm striving to perfection even this day. And only reason I can do the things that I do now is because of Christ Jesus,
yes,
leading and guiding me.
Yes. Dr. McCoy, it's really important that we remember these gold nuggets that you're dropping on us, because when you think about self-centeredness, and as you brought it out so well, self-centeredness bring on selfishness. And that was a perfect example of, it may have been how you were raised, it may have been something that happened to you along the way, but when we started early on, several weeks ago, talking about witnessing and carrying the message, spreading the gospel, we started out talking about sharing Jesus effectively. And if we don't pull these things off that you're sharing with us tonight, if we don't pull off these insecurities, is what it all entails, if we don't pull off these insecurities, then we will find ourselves self-centered, not being able to share Jesus effectively. And one of the main things I want to bring out is self-centered brings on self-righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
We know it's not the will of God
that
we're self-righteous. And so those are things that you just brought out that we were supposed to pull off and with the old man, and put on the things of Christ with the new man, which includes self-centeredness.
Amen. That is very, very good, because that is well spoken, well said, because we have to be careful of self-centeredness. Even as Christians, we have to be sure that it doesn't creep back in. You know, what came in and what was doing before, if we don't stay in the arms of Christ and in his word, those things can creep back in to our lives. So therefore, it's important for us as Christians and as soul winners, as evangelists, as people of God, that we put on the whole arm of God. For God, Christ tells us to put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and the shod of feet for the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Yes.
So therefore, it's so important that we put on the word, you know, and we put on the word that we don't have to be insecure. Yes, we were insecure, but we don't have to be there that way anymore. And we don't have to be self-centered, neither. We'll learn to love, and we give show other people how to love. And we don't even have to keep talking about, you know, sometimes people want to say, I just love people, I love people, but they don't show that love for people.
Yes.
You know, their attitude, the way they talk to them, when they present themselves to them. So we have to clean ourselves up. And the only way to clean ourselves up is with the word of God.
Yes.
The word of God is a cleanser.
Yes.
It's better than tithe.
Yes.
It's better than gain.
Yes.
It's better than a fab.
Yes.
It's better than bleach. You know, it's better than anything. You know, the word of God is. And so, therefore, it is vital that in order for us to be strong and courageous and valid in our walk with him, we have to be able to do these things. Now, we want to touch on some of these other things because we want to move a little further on tonight, but we want to hit and go and talk about despair and depression. We want to give them hope when they are going through despair. I can't make it. I don't know how the next day I'm going to make it through the night. You know, the things that they some things in life bring on depression, you know, loss of a husband, a loss of a child, a loss of a home, a loss of a car, a loss of anything, you know, your job or whatever it may be. Sometimes if we allow it to, it can bring on despair in our life, but yet we have to give them hope. Jesus Christ is the hope of glory. Let them know, hey, I can make it. Hey, I've been through some of this. God brought me out of it.
Yes.
And so even as God brought me out of it, God is able to bring you out of all of this as well. I remember when that happened to me. I remember, you know, it was 3 years ago or 4 years ago. If it just happened to you a year ago or whatever, it happened to you. Just let them know that God, he will give you hope, that Christ is your hope. Just believe him. And I want to show you how to believe him. I want to show you how to trust in God. I want to show you how to have confidence in him. I want to show you how not to be afraid of the things that that you may experience in life. And also cheap thrills is something that a lot of people have gone through things like that, the cheap thrills. You got to let them know that you want the real and the lasting happiness, because some people go through cheap thrills. They go through from one person to the other, and that's not, you know, maybe joyful at the time. It seems like it's joyful. It seems like you may have a good time, but at the end of the story, it brings on unhappiness, unfulfillment, make you feel down, make you not feel that you're worthy of it. If it didn't last, you know. But what we want is the real thing. You know, they used to talk about Coke as being the real thing. It was good now. Coke was the real good. But then they started making other products and invitation things. And then, but they had to, we knew that it wasn't like the Coke that we had. We knew the difference in the flavor and the taste and how strong it was. And how fulfilling it was. We knew the difference. So therefore, I want to tell you today as students, as in this class, that you have to know the real thing. You got to know God. You know, God is not something that you imitate himself. He's not something that you
cannot experience in life. But I want you to know tonight, as students here at Jehovah Jireh, that you got to know the real God. He's not an imitator. He is the real thing. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He is the true and the living God. So we don't have to go through the cheap thrills. We can go through, let them know that we serve a God that is everlasting, that will give them happiness. We don't have to go through boredom. God is adventurous type God. I mean, doing something great and mighty each and every day. We don't have to even experience the fear of death. God would give us assurance of heaven, that we will, even when this life in our body leaves us, when we leave this life, that God will give us eternity with him. And we don't have to go around with fear of that, because the devil is give people that spirit of fear, that they will fear, and that's not what God wants us to go around in fear. And also bitterness and resentment. I don't know, that's something that I believe that there's a lot in the world today. Yeah. People, they're carrying bitterness in their heart. Bitterness and resentment. You know, they've had this for a long time. They can't get rid of it. It seems like they can't get rid of it. People are angry with other people. They are resentful of other people because of the fact that things didn't go the way that they thought they should have. But somebody may have lied upon them. Somebody may have treated them wrong. And you got bitterness in your heart, and you are harsh. And you can't get, it seems like you have a difficult time of getting rid of that. But yet God will give us the ability to be made free from our past. Mm-hmm. Old things will pass away. Mm-hmm. All things will become new if we allow God to come on the inner man. And that's why it's so important, you know. And that's a good testimony to be able to let somebody know if you were living a life of bitterness. And you couldn't get along with people. You can't even speak right to anyone, correctly to anyone, because you're so bitter and hurt on the inside. And you're letting people separate. You're separating yourself from people because of the bitterness and the resentment that you have in your heart. And that's something that God does not want us to walk around with bitterness and resentment. So you can tell other people how God delivered you from bitterness and resentment into your life, that you can be free, because that's a bondage.
That's right.
That's a bondage.
Yes.
Come on, that's when people shackle.
Yes.
That's when they can't get a loose, and they can't go and advance in other areas because they're in bondage to bitterness, bondage to resentment of what somebody did or what somebody said. So that's something that God let the person know that God will free them from that. And they don't have to live in that. Yeah. And then not only that, pain or rejection. God, let them know about God's unconditional love.
Yeah.
You know, God is not like man.
Yeah.
God will be there forever with you. He'll not leave you. He won't forsake you. And some people, when we talk about pain or rejection, that can be some real pain. And some people don't know how deep it is, how to be rejection. I don't know about you, but I can remember when I think I was in elementary school, and I can remember rejection even when elementary school. And that's why I can tell somebody about rejection, how when one reject you for whatever reason, and you're not part of the group, and they leave you out, and they don't want to have anything to do with you per se. But those same people that does that, the things like that, you have to pray for them, to pray that God will deliver them, and you have to pray that you don't have resentment in your heart because of what they did, even by then, because some people have taken people. It makes them even want to commit suicide, because that's why you have these bully-type people
bullying people in the schools and doing things to them, and yet you don't know how harsh that is to some people. You know, sometimes you may think that you can take a whole lot of things, but a whole lot of people may not be you, and you then they can't take what you are giving out. So therefore, we have to let God, love, the love of God, to be manifested in our lives so that they can know that, you know what, you may reject me, you may not want me in your company, but I got somebody in my life that loves me, that cares about me, that's watching over me day and night, that they're in there watching over me 4 o'clock in the morning, that they're there at midnight and early in the morning. And so, therefore, I have somebody in my life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we got to let people know that they don't have to continually in being hurt and rejected and going through all the things that they go to, because God will help us have that unconditional love in our heart. And then the last three would be marriage problems. There can be a positive change in my marriage, no matter what the marriage may have been. And you may think this marriage is over, and some marriages need to be over. But yet, God will make a way. God will make a way of escape, and God will do what needs to be done in that person's life, because God will bring that person out. God will bring, and you can give an example how God brought you out of a marriage that was a wreck. You know, some people have been husbands or wives been hostile to them. They have abused them. They've done all sorts of things. They've beat them and at the point of held guns to the head and things of that sort. But yet some lives, even in that, God is able to change people's lives, to make a positive change in their marriage.
Yes.
There have been also, did you want to say something?
I was just going to quickly say, as you were talking about bitterness and resentment, and it's a good thing that you can even connect that to marriage problems, because a lot of people are going through bitterness and resentment and despair and even going out to take on the cheap thrills you were talking about because of some past relationship, because of bad marriages. And it was humorous, but it's true. A lot of things are real. Like you said, some marriages need to be over. Well, those are the marriages that people join themselves to people, not the marriages that God has joined together. Because the Bible says what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. So, but there are some marriages, and we can talk about our past all day long, that we join ourselves to people that we went ahead of everybody, didn't consult the Lord, didn't take wise counsel, didn't get any godly advice. We just jump right into it, you know. And it caused problems because there were consequences, or there are consequences and repercussions for making wrong choices. And a lot of people that are still harboring bitterness and resentment, that goes all the way back up to the regret. You know, sometimes people marry out of insecurity. It goes back to what you started out talking about. Sometimes people marry because they want to feel secure. And that goes to looking for love in all the wrong places. So this is a very good subject. And this it's hard to run over this, but marriage problems is a long subject.
Marriage problems is... financial problems is, there can be a positive change in your finance, because no matter how it looks, God can cause. I've heard people that have been in financial struggles, that God erased things on their credit report, and God gave them the sums of money, and God made a way for them because they're a way maker. So I want you to know tonight, even your business problem, God can make a change in your business. So all of these things that we talk about tonight, it will enhance us and will help us that we can be able to have a testimony to other people. And that's what I thank God for, that we can have a testimony,
yes,
that we can tell other people. Because sometimes people want to share with you, they want to tell you,
yes,
the things that they have been through, and you can be able to strengthen them, encourage them, to let them know that, hey, you know, Charles, I went through this, and God brought through this. Sally, God brought me through a marriage that it seemed like it wasn't working, and then in America, but yet God brought me through, and God brought me through a financial problem. Oh, I know when I was in despair, I know that I was hopeless. I know that even when I was homeless, yet God brought me out, and God took care of me, and that same God that took care of me will take care of you. I am so glad that you joined us tonight here at the Jehovah Jireh International Institution. I'm so glad that you just took the time out to hear what God wants to say to you, because I believe that this is vital in our growth and maturity in Christ, that we can be able to help somebody. Everybody needs some help. Everybody needs to know what Christ can do in their lives, and you can be made whole by knowing what Christ can do in your life. So on next Monday, on our next lesson, our next discussion, class discussion, we're going to be talking about and go into some discussion about sharing Jesus effectively. What we've been doing is telling you how to share Jesus effectively, but we want to talk about and go to a format on our discussion in our classroom. We want to talk about personal evangelism and witnessing. We want to talk about being willing to go. Why is it that we should be willing to go? We want to talk about realizing our authority in Christ. And then we're going to talk about realizing the integrity of God's word. We're going to take our time. We're going to be talking about these things. We're going to talk about binding the devil. We're going to talk about expecting results and also suggesting and going in pairs when we are witnessing. There are so much that we want to get you, and we're not just going to run through it, but we want to get fully understanding, and we're going to do it by the word of God, because you know what? There is an answer to everything in the word of God. So again, we want to thank you on tonight for being able to those that are online, those that are listening. I was very encouraged to look and see how many people are actually listening to our class discussion. It's very, very good. We want you to tell other people about what's happening here at Jehovah Jireh. And even if they would like to come to our classes, again, our classes are held at 1401 Grandfell Street at the Center of the Prevention of Health Disparities on the campus of Edwards Border College here in the beautiful and bold city of Jacksonville, Florida. We want you to join us, the invitation to join us on our next session. May God bless and keep you. May his face shine upon you until we meet again.